Well, praise the Lord. I've been doing a series, as you know, on being thankful. And I've been exploring different things. And if you don't mind, I'm going to sit once in a while. I have a bum knee. We've been exploring different things about being thankful. And then last week, I looked at it from the opposite point of view of being unthankful, how that's right next to being unholy. And Paul lists it as such. And so it even says in the last days, people will be this and that, and perilous times will be here. But one of the things is they'll be disobedient to parents and unthankful. And so that's a mark of the last days, is to be unthankful. So tonight I'm going to wrap up this series called Thankful. This is part three. And we're going to be speaking out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And so let me do this first. I want to preface what I'm about to say, because it may not come across as what a lot of people believe and practice. And that's okay, because neither one of us is wrong. So I'm going to give it out as I think it says in the Word, and then you take it home, chew on it a while, and see if, you know, study the Bible and see if what I'm saying has merit or if it doesn't have merit. So, being thankful. In order to give this particular message, I have to give you the context. And in order to give you the context, I have to read other scripture that seems to not be related to what I'm talking about. But in a moment, or in a little while, you'll see that I'll get to the point that I really want to get to. And that's so I got to start somewhere. So I'm going to start on verse 5, chapter 9, verse 5. Or, I told you wrong, dear. Verse 6 is okay. Go ahead to verse 6. So Paul is talking about giving, okay? It's something we're going to experience. This is why we have Thanksgiving. But in this case, he's talking about supporting a church that is in need. In particular, this would be in Jerusalem. But in chapter 8, he spoke about Macedonia. Now, I don't know if you recall, but Thessalonica was the capital of Macedonia. But the thing is, churches have issues, have problems. And we have to understand that that not only applies to congregation, but it applies to individuals. Individuals have needs, and they have problems. And so Paul is addressing this whole idea and principle of giving. And so I got to give you this context so that the very last verse makes sense. So here we go. Verse 6 of chapter 9, 2 Corinthians. Paul says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." So if you look at this scripture, already he's using a farming metaphor as a person who sows grain. And so what it is, he's talking about sowing and reaping. You may have heard that term all the time. Now, I have heard a lot of preachers preach it to where if you sow, if you give to the church, you will reap back 100-fold or 50-fold or whatever they claim. Hey, that's not in this part that I'm reading here. Has nothing to do with getting. This has to do with sowing, giving, helping. We don't do it for the idea of what are we going to get out of it. I hope that makes sense, because if that's your motivation, and we're going to get to it in a moment, God is not pleased. Okay? God is not pleased. But he's starting out with the fact that if you are tight-fisted, if you're a tight-fisted Christian, and you don't give to help anyone, anytime, anywhere, I feel sorry for you. Because if you're that way, you're sowing sparingly, and you're going to reap sparingly. So God has blessed us individually so that we, for the purpose of being more Christ-like, is to help others in need. And by doing so, he said, we shall also reap bountifully if we sow bountifully. Let's go on to the next verse, verse 7. And notice he's saying here, every man according as he purposes in his heart. That's key, folks. That's key. You have to think about, and even if it means sitting down with a calculator, I know this might sound odd and strange, but you sit down with a calculator and you says, okay, here's all my expenses, here's all my things that I have to, you know, take care of and pay for and support my family. What do I have left? And so he's saying, purpose it in your heart. Now, there have been Christians who, dare I say, overgive to the point that they can't support their family. And if you can't support your family, Paul in another place says, you're worse than an infidel. Okay, because you have to take care of your family. So what I want you to know is that purpose in your heart what you plan to give. Ah, but there's kind of rules to this. There's rules to everything, really. So you purpose in your heart what you're going to give. But then he says, not grudgingly. Okay, what does not grudgingly mean? It means, oh man, you know, here, I'm going to give a 10 in the offering tonight. I really wish I could hang on to that. You know, I think God would wish you would hang on to it too. Because I'm not even sure first of all, he's not pleased with you. And second of all, he's not pleased. I'm not sure if he'd use it. I know that's a bold statement, but I'm not even sure if he'd use it. Why? Because you gave it in the wrong motive. You gave it out of grudgingly, in other words. You did it not because you wanted to, but because you felt like you had to. And that's never a good way to give. And then he says here, or of necessity. What's necessity? That's kind of like the same thing, like a have to. You kind of look around and you see other people giving and you say, well, if they're giving, I got to give something. That's necessity, folks. There again is the wrong motive. The wrong motive. You don't give grudgingly and you don't give out of necessity. Not because you have to. For he says, for God loves a cheerful giver. So first thing, you purpose in your heart what you're going to give. And you give it because you want to. Now, I'm going to say something that a lot of people might disagree with me on. But after Jesus died, I know he had said it before he died, but after Jesus died and resurrected, we are not taught anywhere in the New Testament to give a tithe. If you find it, show it to me. And I will correct my wording here. We are not told to give a tithe. We are told to purpose in our heart and don't give out of tight-fistedness, grudgingly. I wish I could hang on to this, but I'm going to give it to the church because people are looking at me. Or of necessity. There are some Christians who are in such a situation they can't give at all. That's okay. That's okay. And we, as a church body, need to understand that's okay. There's some Christians who make quite a bit and could give easily above 10%, but they cap it at 10 and think they're doing the Lord a very great service. But God has blessed them so much that they could give more. So the point I'm trying to make here is don't look at it as a we're not under the law. We're not following the tithe, even though that's a good principle. I don't neglect that. That is a good principle. But the thing is, we're not taught that anymore. So purpose in your heart. Let me give you a quick illustration of what happened with me. I was in a lot of debt, a lot, up to here, above my head. And I went to a consumer credit counseling service. I hate to admit that, but I did. We did this years ago. And the thing was, the woman was, bless her heart, she really meant well, but she was adding up on everything I owed and what she could do. You know, she could reduce my payments to this amount and whatnot. But anyway, she finally came up with a total. And she knew how much I made, and she came up with this total. And she said, Mr. Riggs, she said, I don't know how you're going to do it. I recommend you go bankrupt. I said, no, ma'am. I said, I won't do it. She said, well, I really don't know how you're going to do it. I said, if you can put me on this plan, I said, that we'll give it a shot. And I don't know if you know about these consumer credit counseling services, but if you're on the plan, and as long as you pay according to the plan, you're still on it. But the moment you miss a payment, all of a sudden everything goes back to what it was. So anyway, we had to make sure that we had to be on this plan. And by the way, I think it was going to last 2.5 years. So I wasn't really looking forward to that. But the fact was, she wanted me to go one way, and I said no. But I got home. And poor Deronda, I came out, I was all like relieved, and Deronda was all sad, and I was like, what's wrong, dear? She says, I didn't know we were out of money. I said, I'd only been telling her for 6 months or more. Bless her heart. Sorry, honey, if you live in my family, you could be used as a sermon illustration. You have the right to remain silent. Otherwise, you can be used in a sermon illustration. But no, the fact was, we came home and we decided that we were going to give, I wanted to pay tithes. Okay, I really did. But I didn't have it. But I purposed in my heart to pay $10 a week. And I was going to pay that freely, without grudging and without necessity, but because I wanted to. Giving is a grace. I don't know if you realize that. Paul even writes, even though we've not heard Jesus say this in the Gospels, Paul writes, it's better to give than to receive. But anyway, $10. I wanted to be faithful to both, the church and this new plan I was put on. And once I started paying that and praising the Lord with what little bit I was giving, well, guess what? I get a raise. So sometimes it was unexpected. I change jobs within the company, get another raise. And I mean, things started looking up for me. So as that started happening, not only was I able to easier pay this plan, I upped my amount to say $20 a week. Okay, so I started doing that. And let me tell you something. By the end of that 2.5 years, I think it was, I had finally gotten to where I could pay tithes. Whereas before, I was in so much debt, I couldn't pay hardly anything. And so I was able to do it. God blessed me for that. But because I followed his example here that Paul is laying out, this is the plan I recommend to everyone. Purpose in your heart what you're going to give. Don't give grudgingly. God don't care. He don't care about your money if that's where you're going to give it. Or of necessity, he wants a cheerful giver. Let's read verse 8. Because now he kind of gives an explanation about giving. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency, in other words, having enough in all things. And that was the thing God did. He made sure we had enough. I was able to have enough, But then he said that also that I may abound to every good work. Now, I know that sounds kind of interesting wording there, but not only do I have enough, but I have more than enough to where I can help other people or the church even. And so this is the instructions he's given to the Corinthians. Verse 9. He actually quotes from Psalm 112, and I think it's verse 9, but I'm not sure about that, because he said, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. In other words, you've given abroad, not just in your own household. He hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Verse 10. And it's a continuation of all that. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He's talking about what God does with your giving. God will take the fruit of your righteousness, is what he says, the fruits of your righteousness, but that's your willingness and cheerfulness and ability to give. You got to take all that into account, okay? Ability, but cheerfulness and whatever you purpose in your heart. Okay, so let's go to verse 11. So he said, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Now, what's he saying here? So he's saying, as a congregation, he's talking to the Corinthians now, as a congregation, when they give to help another congregation in need, he's saying you're going to be enriched in everything as if you have a bumper crop, like a farmer might have, okay? You realize when you sow seed, you typically get more than what you think you might. And so that's what he said. So you get this bountifulness. But then it says, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. In other words, all of that giving, free will giving, and bountifulness will cause a wonderful thanksgiving from people who know that you're helping. In other words, this is a great and wonderful principle that God has put into place, is that when you are especially helping out God's people, God will add to your giving, and he will even increase all of this, and it will cause them to thank God for you. I hope that makes sense. Because as you give, especially when you give, you know, with a cheerful heart. Now, I've given sometimes because I've really felt obligated, and I still think God blessed, but that's another story. But the fact is, I gave to somebody. They were actually asking a lot of people for gasoline. We stopped at Sheets, and I think I've told this story before, but I told Duranda, I said, because she was the one, I was not feeling that well that night, and Duranda was pumping gas, and she kept trying to reach back, and she was banging on the window, and I was like, what's going on now, you know? And so finally, I look over to her, and she's motioning me out, because there was some lady accosted her and was begging for gas, you know, because she had to go to Roanoke, pick up somebody, do this, do that. Anyway, I said, well, I'll give them $10, you know. And in my head, I don't know if it was the Lord or me, you know, I may have been, you know how you have supposedly somebody sitting on your shoulder on either side, and I kept hearing this, what, really? $10? That's all you're going to do? Just $10? And I'm like, well, and finally I said, hey, fill up the tank. And I said, that's all I can do, right? I said, that's all I can do, fill up the tank. Because I didn't have cash, okay? I just had a credit card. So I didn't have cash, debit card really, not credit. But anyway, the fact was, we did that, and they came over, and thanked us and said, God bless you. Now, I may have given and lost every bit that I had given. You know, gave it for a purpose that I had no idea what it was going to be used for. But the fact is, the guy that was with her got out too and come over to shake my hand. But they thanked God. They thanked God for that. And, of course, I repeated it, God bless them. See, but do you see what it does? It's circular. So when you help, it causes thanksgiving to God through your giving. Verse 12. And he's talking about now, so for the administration of this service, what service? This is giving from one church to another church. Not only supplies the want of the saints, in other words, the need of the saints. Want means lack. It's the things that they were lacking. In fact, people were starving in Jerusalem. And so that's why he was asking for donation to give to Jerusalem. So he goes on to say, for the administration of this service not only supplies the need of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. People are going to praise God for meeting their needs. Believe it or not, and I know this might be a hard concept to swallow, but believe it or not, sometimes you're the answer to a prayer. You ever thought about that? Sometimes you're the answer to a prayer. That's why you should think carefully and ask God in ways that you can bless other people. Because you may be the answer to somebody's prayer. Verse 13. Now this is this is a tongue twister. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. So let me unpack that a little bit. So by your giving, and then people giving it to them, okay, so it changes hands. So Paul's asking for the gift. He takes it to them. So that's the ministration he's talking about, or the ministry. So he's doing a giving ministry. And so what are they doing? They glorify God for your professed subjection. In other words, obedience. Obedience. That's what he's talking about. For your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. I am subject to the gospel of Christ. What does that mean? I have to look and see what the gospel of Christ means when it's lived out. And being lived out, Christ gave so much. In one place it says he's given us everything, all riches, and he's put us in heavenly places and blessed us with all I forgot how it goes. Heavenly, what is the word? Anyway, we're rich through the fact that we are with the Lord and he has blessed us. And so the fact that we're subject or obedient unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal means much distribution unto them and unto all men. Okay? So verse 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. And in other words, they're so grateful. They're so grateful, they're praying for the Corinthians as well. And the people that are being helped, they long for them. They want the best for them. And it says, for the exceeding grace of God in you. So Paul has laid out this principle of giving. let's just kind of summarize it real quick. First of all things belong to God. Everything. We have to acknowledge that first and foremost. Everything you have is on loan. Okay? Everything. Even the people in your life. Even my children and grandchildren, they're just on loan. And I have to raise them right. In fact, I had a little one. I won't say, well, you'll probably guess who it is. Wanted money for the book fair. Well, he had 50-some dollars that I've been paying him for chores and whatnot. He had 50-some dollars. And he went and asked his little sister for some money. Well, I didn't know about it. And she gave him $10. Because she had about 50-some dollars for chores she's been doing. Well, I asked him, I said, did you borrow money from your sister? First he tried to say no, but he admitted he did. And I said, did you pay her back? Yes, I did. I said, okay, because I had to rephrase the question. I said, how much did you borrow? And he told me, $10. I said, how much did you pay back? Three. I'm like, so if I borrow $10 off you and give you back three, are you paid back? You know, I get the rolling eyes and he's thinking. Finally, he goes, no. I said, no, you're not paid back. And I told him flat out the truth. I said, the Lord's not pleased. I said, the Lord's not pleased. And I had just given him $5 for taking down the trash. I said, so what are you going to do with that? And he looked at it. He was like, oh, man. But he looked at it so longingly. And here I am like this. And he said, I guess I'm going to give it to her. I said, good. So he did. He walked over and he gave it back to his sister. Came back. I said, is she still paid back? Remember, he was $7 short, and then he gave $5 back, and so he's $2 short. He said, no. He said, but I'll give it to her. Well, once he learned his lesson, that's all I needed. I went ahead and gave her $2 extra so he wouldn't have to worry about it. You see how that works? See, God has graced me to the point that I was able to give on his behalf to her. It's kind of circular. And God has put this principle in place that when you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Maybe not all material blessings, but it could be spiritual blessings. Both are good. But the fact is, I wanted to teach him that no, he wasn't giving an offering. He was really paying back a debt. But the fact is, he was living honestly. And I want him to live honestly. And so, he got the lesson. At least I hope. We'll see next time, right? Because I told him the next time, I said, when you got money in your hands, like you do, I said, you don't go asking for more from somebody else. I said, that's the same as stealing. And he like, okay, I won't. So, okay, I left it alone. And I told him I was really proud of him for giving up that $5 that he just sat there and looked at. I thought he was going to come to tears. And, of course, that would have made me feel bad. But, look, tough love, right? It's got to be love. But think about this principle that God has put into place. And Paul is so excited about this principle that of helping other people is going to cause a thanksgiving back to God, and it's going to bless everybody all around. And Paul, I think, is, in my opinion, is so excited that he says this at the end, which is the point of my whole message, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Oh my goodness, what's he talking about now? Jesus Christ. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Nobody has given more than Jesus Christ. And he says unspeakable. Well, I can speak about it. That's really not the correct word there. It's basically, it's indescribable. It's indescribable. Jesus left all of the glory in heaven and became poor for our sakes. It says so, I think, in chapter 8 or 7 prior to this. And he left it all so he could be a man, live and die as a man, and be raised again. And he's the Son of God who gives us all grace and all sufficiency and everything we need. And so Paul saying, thanks be to God, not just because we're able to help people. So do you see where he's getting this? He's like telling them how they should be giving and helping. And then finally he realizes, or at least he tells for our sakes, that God has gave more than anything, any of us. God gave his only Son so that we could have everything. We're going to be heirs to everything. I don't know what that means, folks. I don't know what that means. We're going to be heirs to everything. As I'm having trouble describing it now, that's what he's talking about. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. The fact that Christ did all of this is mind-boggling. And so this is what I wanted to get to be thankful for this season. Because Christ was given for us, for our benefit. And because of that, because we accept Christ and we are subject now to the gospel, we are one of his, we want to help one of his. So that's Paul's whole, well, not the whole treatise on giving, but this is the biggest part on giving. And folks, don't think it's always about money. Sometimes it's about time. Sometimes it's about work. Have you heard of the gift of helps? I mean, we've had people in our church down through the years, right, who just helped all the time. I mean, not money-wise, but just helped. And there's not anything better than that. Just somebody who will give of their time and effort just to help. So that's us, folks. And that's all I wanted to really bring out, was the fact that during this season of Thanksgiving, let's thank God for his unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. Father, we're so grateful for your word. Lord, I just pray that we will be worthy of what you have called us to do. If it means helping, we help. If it means talking to someone, we talk to them. We help them emotionally, spiritually, sometimes financially. Lord, whatever we can do, Lord, to help, we want to be that person. So I am grateful that Paul outlines this idea of giving, and not only that, but he reminds us that you gave it all, that you gave Jesus Christ, so that we could be reconciled back to you. And right now, even Jesus Christ is in heaven making intercession for us. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.